Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Honestly, no word of a lie. One week after we agreed to draw a line under all of Celtic's failings, here we are, 1 week on, discussing Celtic's failings yet again. Welcome to this week's episode of 20 Minute Tims. Well, Stephen, Melly, we tried our best, didn't we? We sat down last week, we thought we're sick of the moaning, we're sick of talking about the transfer window, we're sick of talking about the players' failings, we're sick of talking about the manager's failings. Brendan had said in the press that, you know, things aren't as bad as you think. We've only lost 1-8, 1-9, whatever the stat he whipped out was. It's all drama when one side of Glasgow's doing bad, the other side has to be doing good and vice versa. And so far, the narrative is we're doing bad. So we took that on face value. We said, let's draw a line under it. You have to run with what you've brung. And to put it politely, I know, Stephen, you've got a dirtier phrase that you like to use. But here we are 1 week later, and Celtic go and fluff their lines, Melly.
Yeah, it was poor again, and this is why we talk about this. You can just, on the face of it, look at it and say, Celtic have won this amount of games in this amount of time, but when you look at it, the performances have been terrible, and we're always banging on about it here. It's the performances that will see you through in the end of the season, because it catches up with you, and it's catching up with Celtic, and bi-weekly basis now.
I love coming in here. It's a rare laugh. It's great coming in here. What a season it's been. You're right, we tried our very, very best last week to take a new approach, to have a rethink of what we'd believed this season, maybe come up with a different angle to look at this team, but then they go out and just fail again. It's spectacular at home. I know it's only a draw, and that in isolation wouldn't be the end of the world, but there's just been so many of them this season. Just so, not even so many draws, but so many just disappointments. And it's happened so many times this season where we've had false dawns. So we've had things that we thought were going to kick us on, beating Rangers twice among those, and it still never happened. Even the, as small as it seems now, it seems quite quaint to look back on it, but we thought finally getting that win in the Champions League was going to do it. Beating Feyenoord at home, as much as it was a dead rubber, we thought that was going to kick the team on, and then they went out and lost at home to Hearts the very next game. So I'm afraid that it seems, on the surface of things, I'm sure we'll get into it today. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, why not?
Gladly. But it seems like this team is going kind of nowhere. It seems like it's got absolutely nothing about it now, and we can talk about the reasons why we think that is. But
it felt like a watershed, didn't it, that Kelly game?
The second half performance was nothing new. It was nothing. It wasn't a surprise. And we're talking about that phrase as it's been used since, again, the Hearts game. When we lost to Hearts at home, Brendan Rodgers came out and said that he wasn't surprised by how bad the performance was. And here we are again, several weeks, a couple of months on from that, and we're now saying we're not all that surprised. But the second half performance in that game was alarming, to say the least. But was anyone really surprised? I think that I've seen it, the point made that it's not even so much about the managers. I'm trying not to fall into that trap of making the dead easy comparison between, you know, this team and Ange's team last season or the season before. But
I think you can criticise very easily this Celtic team without now having to talk about any other Celtic manager's team before it.
I think I think that's absolutely accurate. But how it relates to my point making comparisons with other team is that in that stadium, like, see if under Ange, or even under Neil Lennon, even or under Brendan Rodgers previously, see if Celtic had conceded a 98-odd, whatever it was, minute equaliser, so a very late equaliser, there would have still been a huge amount of belief that we could have got the job done. Yeah. We still had time. We had 5 or 6 minutes left in injury time. We can still do this. There would have been a huge roar. Celtic would go back to take centre and you would be straight on the front foot and attacking. We can still get a goal. In fact, we can probably still win this game 3-1 if we go about our business here. But against Kilmarnock, there was nothing, absolutely nothing. The place was dead. See, as soon as that ball hit the back of the net, it was silence. Mm. All you could hear was the seats flying up and everybody was just, well, here we go again. And everybody just left, basically. There was no belief in that team. Either way, there's no belief on the pitch and there's no belief from the stands. There's been a lot made recently about, you know, get behind the team, and we've all bought into that. We've all been...
Played our best last week.
We've said that. We've said that literally on basically every podcast we've said, both public and Patreon. We've said, right, it's time to get behind the team. But the reality is very different when you're in the stadium.
Give us something to get behind.
You're given nothing to believe in, and that was the case again.
Look, the irony of this situation, Melly, is that it's not Rangers doing this to Celtic. And there's lots of Rangers fans in the comments, YouTube comments, lots of Rangers fans on our Twitters. And listen, Rangers fans, if you would like to join literally tens of other Rangers fans, patreon.com/20minutetims, where I see a few of you signed up. Some interesting email addresses have signed up to the Patreon. patreon.com/20minutetims, where you can get even more Tim tears for your pound if you want to join there. And Celtic fans, if you want to support this podcast, patreon.com/20minutetims. The irony is it's not Rangers that has done this to Celtic. It's entirely Celtic's own doing. And if you look at that Kilmarnock game, that was a watershed moment for me insofar as there's just some stuff we just can't do anymore. And I think a lot of blame gets thrown about. So first and foremost, I want to just make it clear that I think the players are trying. I think the players that are going to get criticised by me anyway today, they are trying their hardest. They are trying their heart out. They are putting everything out there as best they can for Celtic. In their head, at least they think that's what they're doing. But there are some players who, if Brendan wants to have any chance of winning this league, he can't play anymore. And people don't want to hear it. But Liam Scales puts this team under immense amounts of pressure. Yeah. Yes, he might be good at the last ditch defensive. He might be good at that. He might have had a couple of excellent games back in November time. It's particularly in the Champions League. But now, today, with 12 games left to go, Liam Scales terrifies the life out of me because he causes chaos with his passing. The guy, some of the passing on display from Liam Scales in the Kilmarnock game was junior level stuff. And I don't say that as a throwaway comment. He's got 18-yard passes to play us out of a press. He's got an 18-yard pass ahead of him against Ralston, turns inside and plays it behind his centre-half partner. There seem to be, from Liam Scales' point of view, numerous passes going in behind, players going in behind Stephen Welsh. It's just, and what that does is it just invites the Kilmarnock press, and that just causes problem after problem. Not just Liam Scales, but I think this defence, with Burnaby in particular, Scales, Welsh, and unfortunately Tony Ralston, they are killing this Celtic team. They are absolutely killing everything we try and do. Everything we try and do starts at the back. We try and play through the thirds. We try and get the ball up quickly. And they simply can't do it. So we've got the curious case of Mike Navrotsky. £4.5 million. I don't believe for a minute that guy is worse than any of those two centre halves. So Brendan has seen something in training that has decided that he's no for me. I don't know. This Liam Scales stuff is starting to look like Johnny Hayes 2.0 for me. When everyone else can see that he's not quite good enough, he tries his heart out. So does every Celtic player. Nearly every Celtic player, has to be said. Because there's a few immediately came to mind when I made that caveat. But I think Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh, but the reason I'm not that worried about Stephen Welsh is because he will eventually be phased out when Carter Vickers comes back. The Scales thing's killing us, man. It's absolutely killing us, and we need a better solution in there if we've got any chance at all.
Yeah, look, I think he's looking like Effie Ambrose look like a genuine Ballon d'Or contender. I think he's terrible. And I said it months ago in the last Kilmarnock defeat, I want to see the end of it now because his performance was abysmal. He sort of not won me over, but after the Rangers game, I thought, do you know what, he performed well there, but I can't keep watching him doing the same things over and over. And the manager can't keep watching it either as well, because it's terrible, and it is putting Celtic under pressure. Even his passing's terrible, but there was two occasions where he strides forward with the ball into space and then passed to a Kilmarnock player. Mm. The guy is nowhere near good enough for Celtic. He never has been. I don't care if he's Irish, if he gives his all. It's no good enough. We've seen it all before with these guys. He's terrible. He's putting Celtic under immense pressure, like you say. There is no reason for him to have 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds on a football. There's no reason for it. The manager's not asking him to do that. And there's no reason for him. You can say he's not good enough and all that, but the manager has to carry the can for if he passes the ball into midfield, it goes out. But if you're going to play the easy option, remember Anne shouting at Stephen Welsh in his first season, Brendan's got to do that because Liam Scales will just continue to play the simple ball so he doesn't look like the fall guy anymore. He's looking like that anyway.
I think the part of the problem is that there's a lot of criticism, Stephen, about manager instructions, and I've got that on the agenda to talk about. But I think that the Liam Scales thing, if Brendan does see a player in Liam Scales, and it's evident that Burnaby isn't a player, and I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will have the answer to all these questions, there's a rationale behind it. I don't think for 1 minute I'm sitting here, and me, as just simply a world-class podcaster, are seeing things that the Celtic manager's not seeing. So these are kind of things, these are more things I need explained to me. And if we get the opportunity to speak to Brendan Rodgers again, I definitely will ask him. But for me, if you love Liam Scales so much, but we all know Burnaby doesn't have it, then to me the solution is, when you're struggling and Greg Taylor has to come off, you move Liam Scales to left back and you play someone else at centre back, because Burnaby is another problem. But sticking on Scales for a minute, because I don't want to get veer too far away, the stuff that Melly was talking about and the bad passing, this isn't scattergun. These are things that when you're in the stadium or you're watching on TV, you specifically see Liam Scales do. There was another point in the game where Liam Scales strides up into the sort of second third, he gets on the verge of the second third. He doesn't have amazing passing options in front of him, but people are on, and he plays a no-look pass behind him, back into our half, behind Stephen Welsh, who then is immediately under pressure, because that's one of the pressing triggers for Kelly as soon as we played the ball back, and the ball ends up back at the goalkeeper. And you think to yourself, this is lunacy. Yeah, this is madness proceeding with this guy.
Well, there was a moment, it's done the rounds on Twitter, or X, it's done the rounds where there's a 45-second clip of Celtic having full possession for 45 seconds inside their own defensive third, and they cannot get out of it at all. So the ball ends up in the right back position, they're closed down, ends up going across to the centre halves, they get closed down again, they're getting further and further away, playing balls behind each other. So it is causing panic, and I know that this will come across as very, very harsh on a guy who has performed admirably this season, but it's not about him being a total donkey on the ball and like scoring OGs every week or on. It's about the problems it causes Celtic going forward. Yep. Now, a main complaint about this season has been that the Celtic don't move the ball quickly enough. So what does that actually mean? You can't say they don't move the ball quick enough, but it's not about the centre halves. They're fine. They're just there to defend. Centre-halves haven't been just there to defend since about 2003 or something like that. They're very much part of the attack these days, and Celtic can't get the ball forward quickly enough because they've got those two, at least, and more broadly, four guys who kind of move the ball forward out of the defensive third. Joe Hart's no much better, so once it becomes apparent that they can't get it out of there, Joe Hart just boots it out of play. That's what happens, and it happens several times against Kilmarnock. So we seem to be doing just the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And that's when you get yourself into a real rut and you can't see yourself getting out of it, because you just see the same things over and over and over again. And we say the same things over and over again when we sit down to talk about these games. It just keeps coming out.
We're funny with it, though.
Yeah, that's what you're here for, Rangers fans. Mostly Rangers fans this week. Moving up my left back, maybe. It's something we've not tried, and at this point,
I just mean at the point where you're hooking Greg Taylor, because if Greg Taylor was taken off, I firmly believe Greg Taylor was just taken off because he was probably didn't have enough fitness to play the full 90, having been back. You bring on Burnaby, and with that change, you kind of know what you're going to get. You know Burnaby's going to cost you. You know he's going to cost you. Oh, more or less, he comes on, and you think he's going to cost us in some serious way. And I just think to myself, there needs to be a better solution. Tomoki's played centre-half. He can pass the ball. Now, these are all things that Brendan Rodgers obviously knows, and he's not doing them for a reason. But me as a fan, I'm just thinking, this is madness. I'm watching the guy on the ball, and he's causing absolute chaos. There's clips flying about. And in all those clips, one thing to me is apparent. There are exits available. There are players available. There are people looking for the ball. There's an instance where Ralston moves inside, and he's available for the ball. The distance between Scales and Ralston is the same between the distance of Scales and Welsh, but Scales opts to pass behind Welsh instead of playing forward to Ralston. Play forward to Ralston, you're out the press, and off you go. It's And I'm like tearing my hair out watching it. And I think the manager must be doing the same thing. So it's like a flow chart. So the question then becomes, why is Navrotsky not playing?
Yeah. He's not trusted. I don't know what it is, Brendan.
£4.5 million.
The only thing Brendan Rodgers has ever really said about him, apart from being, you know, fairly complimentary about him when he came back into the team before bombing him out entirely again, was that he and Lagerbielke were lumped together as guys who hadn't really displayed the personality required of a Celtic player. But
did collapse in the Aberdeen game.
Yeah, yeah. So there was the Miovsky thing. After looking quite good at the start of that game, he was playing some nice passes. He's a guy who does look to break the lines and get the ball out quickly, but if he can't defend, then I don't really know what we do with it. But this stuff with the defence, I think it's affecting the wingers as well. And we'll come to them because I don't think they're not going to escape either because the wingers is a shambles. But a common complaint about the wingers is that they're not taking players on. They're not moving the ball quickly enough. They're not making the defenders commit themselves. They're not really doing anything. But it's an awful lot easier to take players on when the team and the ball is moving at speed in the first place, when you've pulled players out of position. But what we are doing is we are faffing about with it so long at the back that the opposition are in their shape the entire time. They can just move around, so they can press us at will and then just fall back into whatever formation it is, 3-5-2, 3-4-2-1, whatever they've set up. They can just move around the pitch in that shape because we've just passed it about the back. So then we think, right, we get it to the wingers, take somebody on. How are we going to take anyone on? They've just put their flat back five across the pitch.
Yeah.
And we can't do anything with it. Again, I'm not excusing the wingers because I think they've been dismal this season and continue to do so, even though we must have used about 9 of them so far, and we've added another one who can't do anything with it either.
I think Nicholas Gooden ought to be ashamed of himself. The display he's put in. He's come to a big club. It's obviously the move he wanted with big money, for a big fee, mid-season, in a position that he plays. You know, we played out of position. We have taken him from playing every week in Rapid to come into Celtic, and the guy has not sought to make any sort of impression at Celtic Park whatsoever. And you think to yourself, is it just attitude? Is this the reason you failed at all those other clubs you went to? Do you get the big move and down tools? Do you feel a lot more comfortable at the smaller club where there's no expectation on you? Is that the issue where we've got this guy? And is it the same thing with Mike Navrotsky? I mean, we're keen sometimes to let Brendan off the hook with some of these transfers because I don't think, you know, even though he says he signs for everyone, I don't think he literally signs for every transfer. But I think he's got greater and lesser degrees of involvement in all the transfers, and there's no way that Brendan Rodgers wasn't fully across every facet of a £4.5 million centre-half coming in. And I really doubt he wasn't across when he was screaming and jumping up and down and putting so much focus in the transfer window. And he told us directly that he turned down players, and there was players that he turned down, players he didn't want to sign just for the sake of it. In January, £4.5 million for Nicholas Kuhn. Those two are big chunks of transfer for Celtic. Brendan's hateful of him as far as I'm concerned, and he's not paid enough attention because they've both came in, they both seem to lack attitude, they're both not contributing, and Nicholas Kuhn is honestly one of the most pathetic sights I've ever seen in a Celtic jersey so far, because he's came in and he's been weak as water.
Yeah, and it puts you back.
I try to remain polite there.
It puts you back in mind of what Ange said. Look, the difference in quality at the top level isn't that big, but what is the difference is personality and character. And you look at this Celtic team and there's very little of it. There's McGregor, Greg Taylor, Joe Hart, and then the rest of them. But the rest of them are causing like McGregor, Joe Hart, Taylor to crumble as well. It's terrible.
They can't do
watching
it all, that's why.
No, and look, Nicholas Kuhn, we at Celtic expect a certain standard. When you come in, you're expected to be entertained and all that. But I don't expect to sit there and watch a guy jog and watch people run by him. It's unacceptable. And for all the players are going to get it tonight, and look, we'll come on to the manager as well, but number of times this season I have come on this podcast and I'll disagree with you. I don't think a lot of the players are trying the hardest, because if they were, Nicholas Kuhn chases back to tackle that guy and then doesn't watch him run and be the free man at the back
post. In my defence, I did correct myself. I says in their head they think they're trying their hardest.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any player out there going like, I can't be arsed with this. But I think Nicholas Kuhn is like, okay, so this is, I'm doing what it takes to be a Celtic player. No.
Well, it's top level sport, isn't it?
If not even close.
If you've subconsciously switched off even 2-3%, it's going to make a big difference on a pitch if you're just been somebody's just tearing away from you. It doesn't have to be quite literally that. I really can't be bothered. I'm kind of tired today, lads. I can't really be bothered with it. It really is just a mental acuity thing, an attitude thing. And you could be right. To an extent, all the players that Celtic get, to one degree or another, have been passed up by bigger, more or richer clubs.
Food chain.
That's just it. Yeah, we're not at the top of the ladder. We're not at the bottom of it either. Celtic are somewhere in the middle, kind of feeding off maybe stuff that comes down the way and sometimes that comes up the way. But to an extent, all the players we get have probably been passed up by the likes of, you know, certainly the top end of England, but all the way down to like Bournemouth, Norwich, Leeds and all that. They've probably taken a look at those players and passed up on them. But in Kuhn's case in particular, he has literally been at massive European clubs and they've decided not to bother with him. Is it probably that he doesn't quite have the talent level to be at those clubs? That's no shame, but it could be that, and this is not, I'm trying not to be hysterical here, but this has happened to Celtic before. We've signed players who have shown up very quickly. Marion Schwed is one. Marion Schwed was a guy...
That's who Kuhn reminded me of at the weekend.
So he is a guy who had been at previously fairly major clubs. He'd been at Sevilla, a couple of others maybe, and he turned up and all of the headlines about him were that his attitude was stinking. And I thought, why have Celtic somehow managed to overlook that? We've been, again, Captain Saver did here. Do we think we're going to be different this time? We're going to take that guy and turn him into a player when his international manager was calling it in question, his attitude and all that. And then, sure enough, the guy get nowhere near it at Celtic. I don't want to lump Kuhn in with that just now, but we spent a month expecting someone to come in and hit the ground running and at least try and make an impact. And he looked absolutely terrible so far.
What must the likes of Cal McGregor be thinking, Melly? He's sitting in the changing room and he's the one in mid-season saying we need the talent, we need the quality coming in, and then Kuhn arrives. These players like Callum McGregor, right, because there's no doubt about it, Callum McGregor's an excellent footballer and he has spent his career playing with excellent footballers at international level, playing against, so he knows a good player when he's playing against one. He will take one look at Nicholas Kuhn and go, what have we landed here? The same as the other 14 players that we signed this year that we don't play. Yeah. Callum McGregor will be looking at these guys going, what, really? This guy's came to save our season in January.
Yeah, and we've seen it before in our Celtic lifetimes, in the lifetime of this podcast, that Celtic have a good team, chip away at it, and then we're left with things, and then this is what we get. This is where we are now, playing guys like Liam Scales, who weren't even considered last year, and we've got, four or five good players, and then the rest, honestly, you could just sell them all and try again.
But these wingers are causing a major issue. Stephen says we've got Palma, who get hooked at half-time for the most Palma-type performance. Do you know what I thought when within about 5 minutes, I saw Palma miscontrolled the ball twice, I think.
One went right under his foot.
He's not at it today. Yeah. I just thought he's going to have a Palma today. We've got we've got Kuhn, who's like a less effective Palma. We've got Maeda, who's up there like a Tasmanian devil, running about mad, but not really getting involved and not really creating an awful
lot.
Yang, much the same. We've got Abada, who's presently not playing. He might be the best right winger at the club. Who knows? We're never going to see him. So we've got James Ford. I mean, this is not hyperbole, but Mikey Johnson would contribute more than any of those guys any of those wingers that played at the weekend.
The problem came from Kilmarnock's goal was Yang trying to cut inside one too many times, take too many touches, get the ball taken off him, switch to the other side, and Kuhn doesn't even bother. And then
sorry to interrupt you, but do you know what's so ironic about that? See, when Brendan last spoke about Yang, he said he's a good player. I'm positive about him. He maybe just needs to learn when to release the ball and when not to release the ball. And then the very next game, his inability to release the ball when he should release the ball costs us.
But this is where Celtic are right now. We were going into the last 10 minutes of that game with Kuhn, Yang and O up front. That's abysmal. Abysmal. When Steven said, look, nobody expected us to score, there was no big cheer, you look onto the pitch and you're going, well, that's why. They've got less than five goals between them already this season. We're in February. Yang, I don't think I'll ever get round to. I just never thought I'd see how he's going to be a Celtic player. Kuhn, it's abysmal, but it's the same problems Celtic have had all season. Down both flanks, we are chronic. If Greg Taylor's not playing, we're so poor at left back, yet all season we've been screaming for a new left back. So we've got Bernabe and Yang down one side. you're going to attack that, and then down the other side you've got Ralston and Coon. The ball went from one side to the other, to one side, back over, and they scored at the back post. It's all the fullbacks and wingers that that ball went. It just missed out the midfield right across twice, and they've got a goal. And even towards that time, like, it was getting 80 minutes and everybody could sense it. They're going to score. Mm. It doesn't matter. They missed a chance right before it at the back post, where Burnaby again didn't have a clue where he was, and Danny Armstrong skewed it wide. But it was always going to come. And to, for Burnaby as well, to have the cheek to moan about a push, like, come on, man.
I've got no faith in any of these players that Melly spoke about, none of the wingers. And I think, I don't know how many, we like to play this game like, but they've got the bigger wages league. How many players and would get into Kilmarnock side from Celtic's team? Honestly, you wouldn't be surprised to see half of these players we've spoken about in Kilmarnock shirts, because the Kilmarnock
we've got a terrible head-to-head against Kilmarnock.
I know, the Kilmarnock equivalents are better. they're better than us, Stephen.
Every time we do one of these, right, and every time we're particularly harsh on certain individual players, particularly ones who have had a kind of cult of personality built up around them, a bit of the "he never lets us down" stuff, and we've seen that over the years. Every time we do that, we get a lot of comments saying we're very harsh and all that, and there's a player in there. And it's often the same players that we've been talking about for over a year now. Mm. But I'm sorry, if that's the case now, if everyone's watching these games and watching these performances and watching these results and still saying we're being too harsh on this player and that player and give them time, standards are on their arse. Yeah. Genuinely, the standards are through the floor.
Team scale starts every week. That tells you all you need to know.
We are celebrating and we're rewarding rank mediocrity because we quite like these people. Mm. And look at the position we're in now. It's not over. The league is not over, but it is slipping away at an alarming rate. And all that talk about how, when you think about it was only really 5 points. Maybe it was 7 points at one point with a game in hand. Doesn't matter now because we're 2 points behind. It's no goal difference anymore.
And that's the thing. And I think Celtic fans are starting to waken up to it. Like, we've been conditioned into thinking that going into crucial games for a league title, and there's only one team in the country that can win a treble, going into crucial games to stop Rangers winning a treble, because that's kind of where we're at the moment. Yeah. Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh and Ralston and Burnaby and Owen Yang, these players playing for Celtic when we need to win games. There's been the drop in standards is unbelievable. I had a look back today at the Celtic team that get put out the cup by Ronnie Dyla, right? Yeah. By Rangers. Ronnie Dyla's Celtic team that get put out the cup by Rangers. They would run right over the top of that Celtic team that finished that game. No questions asked. Boyata, Armstrong, KT, Griffiths, Commons, Brown.
Roberts involved in that as well, yeah.
Calmack on the bench. They would
even beat on. But they would
absolutely batter the Celtic team that finished that game against Kilmarnock. So that's how far this Celtic team have fallen. And honestly, I know there's like interim reports or something supposed to be announced for Celtic coming out in the next couple of days or whenever they're supposed to be. I don't really keep track of the financials, but honestly, there's rumours going about the Celtic are going to announce £90 million profits.
Oh boy.
On your own head, be it. Yeah, honestly.
Just don't announce
you
it.
You better run at the shop and just spend it all in petrol or diesel or sweets or something, because if that comes out that Celtic have got £90 million sitting in the bank, but we are struggling to win a title because Brendan Rodgers is having to play Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh in crucial games. The Sharks.
What is the bare minimum legally that they can do to announce that? Can they announce it at like 1 o'clock in the morning and then delete the tweet immediately? Just do that.
No, they'll never tweet it. I don't know. Honestly, just spend it on something. And whilst we're at it, no more new contracts.
That
Nicholas Coon, five and a half. If that guy was on loan, you wouldn't buy him.
I know.
If he was on loan, you'd be like, no, we need to give him away.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I've got another thing on the agenda here. Greg Taylor, I think the game collapsed when Greg Taylor went off.
Yeah.
I think Greg Taylor is one of the senior players in the squad now. I think there's no getting away for that. I mean, you're talking about players that have got the quality, and there was talk of a team meeting, a dressing room meeting amongst the players and all that to try and work things out. Excuse me. When you're talking about players, the senior members of the squad, who are we looking at? Melly Taylor, Hart, Calmac, and then
yeah, Carl Vickers to potentially.
Maybe even O'Reilly now, given his personality. Yeah.
But this is the problem. We've had these before, haven't we? We've had it after the Hearts game. Mm. We've had all these things.
But do you think, how do you think about the team meeting? Do you think that's like, is it new? Is that the, is, I saw someone in the Discord earlier call it the death knell of a team. Is that a bit panic stations-y when they're having meetings? Because it seems like Cal McGregor was speaking after the game, so was Joe Hart and Greg Taylor, so the sort of guys we spoke about there, and they're all talking about, look, we're working on this in training, but then it seems to go okay, then something doesn't work on the park, and we need to figure out what it is. We need to get to the bottom of it. Cal McGregor saying, I'm not going to leave any stone unturned figuring out what the problem here is, because what were the manager's very clear, and even Brendan, we're going to get to the manager, even Brendan's comments after the game, everything is super clear. We're not doing this, we're not doing this, we're not doing this. I'm asking them to do X, Y, and Z, and they're not doing it. And it seems the players have taken it upon their own hands a little bit to try and figure out what's happening here. Or, as I like to call it, who's the culprit? Whose fault is it?
Look, I'm all for it. I think the players can look at managers all the time and go, it's the manager this, the manager that. But it's kind of just like Roy Keane says, what about your own personal standards? Are you looking yourself in the mirror after every game and going, do you know what? That was me. I'm not seeing Celtic players go off the pitch on 60 minutes absolutely dying, like, I've given my everything, I'm just back from injury. I think Greg Taylor, maybe, but he couldn't do it any longer than that. But as soon as he went off, and too many times this season, in fact, every time Celtic have a bad result, the substitutions have made things worse for Celtic. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it should be. And I'm not.
We used to laugh last season at how good our substitutions were. We used to call it unfair on our teams. Remember that? We used to make three subs at a time and go, this is unfair.
But that's how we can never rest on this and say, oh, we're miles ahead of this one. Because you're not. You're maybe three players leaving like we had in the summer can completely change your squad. And see on Greg Taylor, love the guy. I think he's been good for Celtic. But this is how, again, low we are. We have needed another left-back for seasons now.
Yeah.
Whether Greg Taylor has been good, as soon as we get to Europe, he's shown up that he's got deficiencies that he can't iron out. He's a very good player for Celtic. But now we're pining our hopes on Greg Taylor staying fit, Cameron Carter-Vickers being there. What we were looking at the start of this season was we need... Need was the word. No, there was no ambiguity about it. We need a left back in. We need a goalkeeper in. And we didn't do it. And now we're relying on guys who we were thinking need replaced. And this is where we're at. This is what happens when you're at Celtic. And it's a cyclical thing. It happens after every two or three seasons. Mm. And when you look at the managers we've had, all we get now is two, probably maximum 3 years out of manager. The last five managers, the longest they've been is 3 years. So we need something in the background to keep this train rolling. We don't have that. And then when a manager comes in and a wee bit of recruitment doesn't work or the manager doesn't work out, this is what happens.
Senior players, Stephen. Do you think the senior players can get us out of this mess?
No, I don't think so. And that's very defeatist, but just judging on what I've seen this season so far, I've spent a long time, and now here we sit in mid-February, still hoping for some sort of spark to life of this team. I just don't think it's there anymore.
I don't think it's the senior players. I think they're all doing their job, but everything around it is terrible.
So I think you mentioned...
Callum McGregor need to take scales up the... Liam, come up to my house, we'll play passing the ball for a couple of evenings after the game.
See, the thing about Liam Scales is he's not the worst player in this team. That's excessive, but he is the guy who gets picked every single week and therefore is a core part of the problem that we're experiencing. As far as kicking this team into life goes, look, try everything, but I just don't see anything in this team. And you mentioned something about the death knell of a team. It is starting to feel very much now like this team is in the death throes. It is the end of a cycle for this team. And it looks now like the players know it and the manager probably knows it as well. It just seems like we're just lurching into a bit of a collapse.
Aye, because every time that something goes wrong, you can see the panic. Yeah. That was summed up by Cal McGregor.
Every second half performance. Yeah.
Every time it happens, something goes wrong, or a player has to go off, or some wee player comes on that's not as good. And even then, like, rotate the wingers all you want, but if one of Hatate, Carter Vickers, Taylor, McGregor, O'Reilly, or Kyogo's not playing, then this team just collapses.
It's so funny you're saying it feels like the end of a cycle. I weirdly don't agree, because I feel like watching the Celtic team, I've never seen this Celtic team before. I'm like, how did we end up with him? Like, this guy's starting, it's like, it's not that when you say the end of a cycle, it's almost like, you know, if we were still playing with Olivange's team, I would agree with you. It feels like we're at the end of a cycle. But right now, what I feel like is we're mid-cycle. We've wiped the old cycle and we forgot to get the new the new stuff in. Right, yeah. And we're just like, shit.
What I mean by that is that the players we've just mentioned here, and they're all very, very good players, but they're all going soon. So see the likes of Joe Hart, Matt O'Reilly, guys like that. Kyogo, does Kyogo stay for a fourth season? Mm. Who knows? Hopefully, probably, but... he might not. He might fancy something else now. That's a very long time for a player like that to be at the one club, especially in Scotland. So all of these players are kind of coming to the end of their Celtic careers, and the list of players that are probably going to either go this summer or there's going to be a decision have to be made on them is extensive. I teed that up a little bit last week and didn't want to get into it because foolishly I thought, right, that was a good game against St Mirren. So we'll kind of park that conversation for now and we'll revisit that in the summer. But I think we're lurching towards a summer of massive upheaval again, another full rebuild 2 years on from the previous one. And look, even guys, there's a lot of rubbish hanging about in this squad, and we've discussed it all to death. We've mentioned all the players, but even guys who are very popular, like Greg Taylor. I really like Greg Taylor. I'm a huge fan of Greg Taylor. I think he's been brilliant for Celtic, but there is that problem where a left-back has to be signed, whether that's to complement or to compete with Greg Taylor or to completely usurp him and go straight into the first team. Not really my concern, but what we do need is a left-back. Bernabe's got to go. I'm not interested in any of this sort of weekly, he's good. I told you there was a player in there.
Nah,
not for me.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, not for me at all.
With any player.
Greg Taylor, even guys who are popular, like Dyson, right? Again, big fan of him. Love what he's brought to Celtic. Inimitable out there. There's no one quite like him. But we can't have a now season-long conversation about quality in the team without addressing the fact that Dyson's got very little of it.
What's his numbers? Three assists and two goals? Have I got that the right way about it?
I think the other way around, I think. For the difference it makes. Yeah. He is never going to have the required level of, you know, skill and ability on the ball that we need of a Celtic winger. He's been brilliant. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, the phrase we love using on this so much, but he's been great. But decisions are going to need to be made on some of these players.
Because he signed a 5-year deal earlier this season.
Of course they are. So even like, it's never going to happen for him either. Yeah. Iwata, these centre halves we've seen. I know I get like, listing players is extremely boring on podcast, but we need to face the reality of this. And we've said it all along this season as well. Talking about getting rid of players in windows is about the overall health of the squad. And we get to this point now and we're just full of absolute rubbish. And it's not progressing. It's not getting any better. And this is the reason that these are the consequences of handing out massive contracts to mediocre players. Yang, Kwon, Tilio, they're all on massive contracts. Lagerbielke, Navrotsky, Odin Holm has disappeared as well. Just
if you work at Celtic and you listen to this podcast, lock away every pen. Yeah. Take all the ink out the printers.
Yeah.
Do not let another contract get signed, whatever the hell you do.
So to put a bow on this cheery point I'm making, I think we are heading towards a bit of a, not so much collapse, I think we're experiencing the natural consequences of just having a team together for quite a long time and not developing on it, not improving it at any point, and just letting it basically gradually crumble in front of our eyes.
I think I agree and disagree with you slightly. I think what we're experiencing now is what happens when you take your eye off the ball with recruitment.
Yeah.
When you think you're too smart by far, because Celtic would turn around and say, yeah, we know we're at the end of a cycle, we know we've got players leaving, that's why we went out and bought 14 of them, to which we would all reply, zero of them play, and the ones that do play are shit.
Yeah.
So I think when you take your eye off the ball so quickly with recruitment, but look, that was
2 out of 11 signings started at the weekend.
It's criminal. It's criminal. Somebody should be sacked for it. And I know there's a sense
of... Rangers had 3 January signings start for them.
And some guy they signed scored, and it's night and day the way that they seem to approach their recruitment. No, everything they do is great and everything we do is crap, but there's a sensitivity I'm hearing about Celtic about talk that, you know, the whatever his name is, head of first team scouting and recruitment, he's talk that he might leave in the summer or talk that he should leave in the summer. That sensitivity only exists because he's a chairman's son.
Yeah.
No. If he was some Dutch fella that came from Ajax and wasn't doing a good job like the last two guys before him, there'd be no question about him being out of a job in the summer. No question.
No.
The last two guys get sacked for less, and the recruitment has been a sack and offence. Right. That's the players. We discussed the players. We discussed about the summer. I want to try and keep the sort of focus here and now. Let's talk about the manager. Brendan Rodgers calls us into the office. Wait a minute, Tim's. How you doing? Not bad, Brendan.
Okay.
Very good, Melly. I want you all to give me one thing you'd want me to change about this team, if you're so bloody clever, they would say. So, Stephen, what's your thing you would say to
after
Brendan?
After everything I've just said over the last 50 minutes,
what do you think his mistake is? Because one thing I've noticed is there's a lot of, you can't play X. And then when you follow up to that person saying, yes, but the alternative is Y, they go, shit.
Foiled again.
You're right. And when people say stuff like, it's too side to side, this Brendan, one of my pet peeves just now, you can't defend Brendan really at the moment or the way Celtic play, but one of my pet peeves at the moment is, it's too side to side or too slow, this horseshoe stuff. I'm telling you right now, Brendan doesn't want that. That is not his instructions. He is out, he is after the games going, we are no passing forward. We're too side to side. We're too backwards. He's basically saying, and he wouldn't be moaning about that if it was his instruction. He would be saying something else, but he's not. He's criticised it. So I would be saying to Brendan, you need to find a way to make it easier for your centre-halves who can't pass the ball. You need to do something. But every time I come up with a suggestion, I'm reminded of someone else who suggested the alternative or poses the alternative. And I think that's the problem. Brendan Rodgers came to Celtic with a system to play, said you need to get me the players to play this system. While they're doing that, he's training the players through the system, blah, 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 we're doing this, we're going to play what Ange played, but we're going to do a few wee tactical tweaks. I need you to do this, that, and the next thing. The players don't arrive. January's on the rise, and the players still don't arrive. Now we're in February. I just think the prospect of Brendan Rodgers entirely changing the system just can't happen anymore. So what does he change? I think one thing he needs to change is, for example, is substitutions. Can you use Ida as an out ball? Because we struggle at the back, but you took him off and you left Kyogo on, who's not having the best of times. So can we possibly use Ida as an out ball?
And then both come off against Kilmarnock.
If we need to go long, Ida looked good. I don't know why he got subbed. What are we doing?
What an incredibly broad question this is.
I tried to be specific, but I ended up broad.
What would we change? Look, Brendan Rodgers has had a lot of, he's had a lot of time with this team, but the trouble is in this game of like snakes and ladders we're all looking at here, all the snakes all lead back to the transfer windows, and we're trying desperately not to talk about that, but I'm afraid that is the core problem, because what I would change is, if these players simply cannot deliver what you're asking of them, then you need to change the players. But that involves putting in Mike Navrotsky and Gustav Lagerbielke.
Yeah.
That's the only change I can think to make. Or it involves playing Iwata in midfield, who has barely kicked the ball all season. Or it involves playing Paulo Bernardo, who's had three good games all season. Everyone thought he was wonderful a couple of months ago, including us. And then he's completely disappeared again. So what do we change apart from personnel? I think when you're talking about Brendan Rodgers' system, I think it has to be more... I don't think it can be as simple as he has his system and therefore he needs the players to play it. I think that is the case, right? But I think it's what are we talking about with system? Where are the ideas? What is it we're identifying by watching these games that the players can't deliver upon? Getting the ball forward quickly enough, right? We've all said that. Mm. We've all said that even tonight. But we have to provide them with a framework to make that simple for them. And to be honest, the team looks completely disorganised and it looks badly coached. And is that as a result or a consequence of them just being completely useless players? That's entirely possible. Mm. We've all explored that fairly extensively tonight. But all season we've been avoiding, we've been kind of walking up to the line of calling this team boring and dull and with a ill-defined style of play that we can't really see what the fault is or what the aim is. And it remains the case today. We've tried so many players, we've tried so many different, not so much formations, that has only really changed recently, but we've tried so many players in so many different positions that nothing's really worked. So what would that change? Without saying the word everything,
yeah,
because that's not any use either. I don't know. I can't identify the specifics of it.
I tend to disagree, Melly, with Stephen a little bit, but I can understand why Stephen's come to that conclusion. But I think people laugh when Brendan Rodgers says, "Oh well, we've not really changed the way for Ange." When I was watching the Kilmarnock game, you could quite easily see the fullbacks coming in, receiving the ball, and then they'd move back out to the left. There'd be little triangles of three fullbacks, with maybe one the fullback, the winger, and maybe a midfielder coming along. Kyogo drops deep, he makes the numbers up on that side. It's a wee, they do the wee triangles, try and work it down. The goalkeeper gives it to the centre halves. They try and play through the thirds. You can kind of see what Celtic are trying to do, and I remember distinctly talking about the Champions League games and we were saying this, you can see what the manager's trying to do, but the minute it goes out to Yang, it fails. Or you can see what the manager's trying to do, the minute it goes to Bernabe, it fails. And that's, I'm seeing what the manager's trying to do, but the minute, this sounds ridiculous, but the minute the footballers are involved, it goes, you know, neck up or whatever, without using the boobs word. That's what you call.
We got away with that.
Time
there,
yourself in a knot. About using the boobs word.
The boobs word.
He's like the Liam Scales of podcasting there. Hey. He gets the ball at the back. I understand. I understand where both of these are coming from, because every time, like we spoke about last week or the week before, every time I try and solve a solution,
trying to avoid the YouTube another... swear filter there. Desperately.
Another problem will crop up. So for me, I don't think many teams, Celtic, Rangers, whoever, would be able to survive without their full back four out there.
Yeah.
But the problem being, one of them is one of our back four in Liam Scales, because he's played every game and the guys behind him are just simply not playing ahead of him. So I think from now on, Celtic need to hope Alistair Johnston, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Greg Taylor are there for the rest of the season. Personally, I'd put Iwata in the number six and have Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly ahead of him. It means it's two guys ahead of the sort of back five that want the ball and can take it on the turn. So I would do that. Out wide, I don't know what you do, because I genuinely don't know who I'd play.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah. It is pathetic. But in saying that, the manager, look, let me
just ask you something, because I want to... is he responsible for the confidence of the team? One thing I was spoken about is this team look bereft of confidence. Is the manager responsible? Because Liam Scales, should he not feel confident to play? It's not a case of his body fails him and he is unable to play an 18-yard pass forward. He's not confident enough in himself to play that pass. Is that where maybe Brendan's fallen down? Should these players have confidence to know, if I play that pass and I make a mistake, it's fine. I need to be braver. Is that... For me, that's one thing I think I can pin on the manager.
Yeah.
You need to motivate your side. You need to have them. They look bereft of confidence. And I honestly think that a lot of that comes from the manager.
I've tried with Brendan Rodgers this year. I thought, look, he's trying. I wouldn't wish this Celtic squad genuinely on anyone. I can't remember it as bad. But within that, what can a manager do? So like that confidence, he's meant to be good at motivating. Like before, when Brendan Rodgers was here, it was all about this guy came in, made everything simple for us. These are the instructions you follow. These, everything should fall into place. It's not. We're getting ourselves into terrible states by looking like we are coached badly. And under Ange, sorry to use a comparison again, but when he first came in, it was lose to Hearts, win 5-0, lose to Livingston, win 6-0, lose to Rangers, win 6-0. So you can go, right, see if we can get somewhere in the middle. We'll win more games than not. We can see what he's trying to do. With this, I can't see what's going on here. I don't really know what the defined strategy for Celtic is out in the pitch. But the one thing I'm going to really level at him is so he can work on the confidence, he can work on the system. Make Celtic hard to break down then. They're not make Celtic hard to play through. They're simply not. All it takes is one or two passes. But the main thing for me is too many times this season I have sat here and said that player's not given 100% and it's not always the same player. That is on the manager. There is no way you can go out at Celtic and not set the standards of if you don't meet these, you won't play again. Yet I've seen Turnbull play. I've seen Liam Scales play, Mikey Johnson, James Forrest, Dyson Maeda, Hayden Palmer getting subbed. How has he ever completed 90 minutes for Celtic? I thought Maeda was hiding at the weekend, Kuhn coming on and not tracking back, Yang doing the same thing every time he comes on, Bernabe, Ralston, whoever it is, all these players, I can level it at people that I don't think they are running to the maximum for them. Mm. And that is on the manager, because all of this stuff is the culture of the club. Ange created a culture where you never stop, and if you do, you simply won't play, and that is the standard you have to meet. With this standards and the culture at the club right now, mediocrity is rewarded. There's no consequences.
This is the point I'm trying to make, Stephen. We could discuss this all day and all night, right? And we don't have we don't have to talk about Ange, because Brendan Rodgers, before Ange, Brendan Rodgers set the standard.
Yeah, yeah.
Brendan Rodgers set an equal or higher standard than Ange achieved, because Brendan Rodgers won invincible trophy. He won everything there was to win the whole time he was here. That is relentless pursuit of success at Celtic. So you don't need to say Ange did this, Brendan, you're not doing that. All you need to say to Brendan Rodgers is, Brendan, look what you did. Look, this is, in many ways, Brendan Rodgers created what Celtic is today, that relentless winning machine. That, and it's, and I don't think Brendan Rodgers is a different manager. Look, there are people out there going, now going, maybe this is it. Maybe Brendan Rodgers is a busted flush. And if you want to believe that, that's fine. I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it. I don't think there's enough evidence there to suggest it. I think I don't know if any manager would be doing better with these players at Celtic. I can't remember. I can't remember seeing, if Celtic by some miracle win this league, this will be the worst Celtic team that's ever beat Rangers to the league, I think, honestly.
And it'll be because Rangers have collapsed worse than Celtic have.
Because it's too difficult to say Brendan Rodgers is busted when this is the standard of player, shamefully, that the guy's been given. That's an SPFL select. That's not a Celtic team. Just because they're running about in hoops doesn't make a Celtic team. So I'm not, for that reason, prepared to say that Brendan Rodgers is a busted flush. I believe in the manager. I back the manager. And I think, given the right tools to do the job, he can make Celtic as successful as he has done in the past. I believe that. But right now, the team lack confidence, and that's up to him. The substitutions just now are confusing, and that's really, really up to him. And I know his options are limited, but it's kind of tough boob words. That's what you've got.
Stop saying boobs.
That's what he's got to work with.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there, because we can't know at this juncture. We cannot know what's properly going on. Maybe things will become clear in future. But I think, while I can't really necessarily disagree on the lack of evidence that he's a busted flush, I think that is literally a lack of evidence rather than evidence to the contrary. Mm. I don't think we've seen anything from Brendan Rodgers this season that suggests he is a dynamic, still as driven and, well, as successful a manager as he once was.
There's no doubt about it. If Brendan Rodgers wasn't Brendan Rodgers, there'd be talk of shipping them out at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be people wanting them definitely sacked, but there'd be talk of shipping them out at the end of the season.
I think so. It's for obvious reasons, but his name still carries a little bit of sort of cachet. He's still a relatively big name. So I think there's an element that we maybe can't see past that. We just think, well, he's Brendan Rodgers, so obviously he's still got something about him. That my issue with that would be that we just haven't really seen anything from him this season, but I do apply the tax that the players just simply are not good enough. One thing on I will say on the confidence thing, I think when we talk about things like that, and we talk about motivation, we just imagine just saying phrases at players to make them feel like they're brilliant. Right? I think there's
any given Sunday or Rocky.
Yeah, like Facebook memes and stuff like that, where Peaky Blinders memes where you're...
Lions don't concern themselves. Your opinion's a sheep.
So it's like a PowerPoint presentation of Brendan Rodgers just, you know, oh, that's you.
Which ironically is one of the most Brendan meme things that you could ever imagine him doing. You know?
While I was talking about the confidence, people imagine that. I think we just see him going into the changing room saying, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, and then starting like a sing-along. I think it's more to it than that, and I think that's the point I was trying to make with this. The system thing, why are the players dwelling on the ball so much at the back? Why is the midfield not shown for it? Why is this team static? Why does it not move for each other anymore? So that is where the manager should be able to bring confidence to the team, not just by shouting slogans at them, by making their jobs clear for them in the park. If they can't deliver it, then fine, that we're in trouble. But a common complaint with his Leicester team was that they played a bit like this. It was they were a bit static on the pitch. They didn't move through the midfield quickly enough. So we've got that guy who's come from Leicester doing that, and we've now got him doing it at Celtic, and we're sort of like, well, that can't be right because he's Brendan Rodgers. He's won trebles and all that. We're ignoring that kind of evidence.
I read a thing on The Athletic about, it was like an in-depth about why Brendan failed at Leicester. It wasn't really solely pinning the blame at Brendan Rodgers. It actually covered everything from the lack of investment and the players and how he started to lose the dressing room a little bit. But one of the things that really stuck out to me was how football managers manage in all sorts of different ways. And Ange is as much of a systems guy as Brendan Rodgers. We saw that with Ange. Arrived with a system and brute forced it through the Celtic team and brute forced it. Now it's looking through the board and the recruitment and went, this is what I need from players if I want to play this way. Shut it, wee man. This is how you win trophies. Get me the players. You sign the checks. That was kind of the Ange approach. But one of the things in this article was talking about Brendan was saying he's a systems guy, but when the system doesn't work or he doesn't get the players to fit the system, he's not very adaptable. Now, that did ring alarm bells with me, but I'm willing to excuse that a little bit because this is Brendan's first season. So he has arrived saying, this is how I intend to win the treble with Celtic and do all these things we want to do. You must get me the players to do it. And that second bit hasn't fallen in place. And that's if things started to change over the course of like year two or year three and it started to fail and Brendan was stuck to this system, but football had moved on and things had moved on and his players had aged out of it and he was still trying to have the players that couldn't. But my point is the whole premise of a football manager when he arrives at a club is he says, here's how I intend to play and to do it, I'll need these players. And the club have not fulfilled their side of the bargain as far as I'm concerned.
No, and we see that like two players from 11 that signed over this season started at the weekend. So we're left going back to the guy. We're going back to the well from guys that were here previously. And even then we've lost great players throughout the season. But Brendan Rodgers, I do think he's adaptable. When he first came to Celtic, he's seen how Mikhail Lustig was and he adapted his style of play to suit the players that were there. So I think he can do that. But like you say, like we've talked about all season, every single manager that comes in, pretty much in my lifetime, their first window has always been the best. And this was the worst. And every time Celtic have a bad result, the fury doesn't automatically turn to Brendan Rodgers. It goes beyond that. And that shows where we are. But I do think the manager has to be giving us more than this. But then I look at the out in the pitch and go, really? Am I expecting more out of these guys? Am I expecting Kun, Yang and O to get as a second goal? I simply haven't.
I want to see more for Brendan. I said that last week. I think the fans need something to get behind right now. But
after every press conference, I do. Like he's won last week, like what he said after the game on Saturday.
I want to see more. I want to turn it up a wee bit. I agreed with it, honest.
And then when we go out in the pitch, all it takes is one thing to spook this team and that's it. They're just soft.
That's the difference between Brendan Rodgers now and other Celtic managers. And this is why I believe in the manager because, as you see, when he comes out after the game and says, no, good enough, too slow, I'm saying, this is exactly what I think. What the failings I've just watched from the stand you're saying the same thing. So to me, it's clear they're not doing what you want. And the natural reaction to that, Stephen, is pick other players. But the problem I've got is the players are not good enough.
We'll just get more of the same.
And it's we went from snakes and ladders to fucking whack-a-mole here.
Yeah.
Remember you used to say Neil Lennon could build a team out of bric-a-brac? He's building a team out of plasticine, isn't he? Yeah. Play-Doh, man. It's just terrible to watch. But what I will say against that is like Celtic were... They weren't chasing a second goal. So for me, if you were going to make substitutions, I'd have left Ida on because he was an out ball. He was up there. Just on that, I did get a wee glimpse of Brendan in that game. There was an injury or something. The game stopped anyway. And he's told Ida and Kyogo to swap around. So Kyogo was the furthest forward. And a minute or two later, he's at the back post and scores. And that's the Brendan I'm looking for. But then later on in the game, he takes off players and he leaves a left-hand side of Bernabe and Yang. We're only 1-0 up here at Celtic Park. And we're struggling. This team is struggling. Bring on players to make a difference. I think Bernardo coming on, for me, it should have been a Wata. Shore it up in there and get control of the game. That's what Bernardo was brought on for. But doesn't he really do that? He's all over the place and he should have buried the game as well. And I'm not going to... Celtic have been poor at finishing this year, but I'm not looking at that game thinking... There was that chance and then there was that chance. There was one Bernardo chance. There wasn't much else after that.
Yeah, we're hardly peppering the goal.
Why was it so bad in the second half as well? Yeah. I know I'm being largely rhetorical here, but it's been... there is that, but it's been a pattern for ages now. The second half against Hibs was terrible. The second half against Aberdeen was terrible. Ross County, absolutely abysmal. The second half...
They're getting nervous.
That's it. So why are we capable of playing some pretty decent stuff? I thought the first half against Kilmarnock was actually quite good. Yeah. I was quite satisfied at halftime. But I'm now at the point where I've got such little faith in this team. The faith is gone. I've lost the faith, right?
You're not keeping the hail.
You're not keeping the hail.
You're not even keeping the hail.
The hail is gone. But
I've lost a man.
R.I.P.
Man down.
I've got such little faith that this team can get the job done now that I'm looking at every game and see if we're not out of sight at half time. We're not going to win the game.
That's what the players are doing. Yeah. That's why it looks so crap, because the players are like, we're only 1-0 up here. Anything could happen in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, and we've got such hard games coming up. I'm dreading Tynecastle, because the way Celtic are playing, Celtic could easily go to Tynecastle and get a doing, like a proper season ending. We could be coming back after that podcast and saying, no, it's done. Everybody needs to
go. Unless CCB comes back.
Yeah, that's possible. But even at that, he's been involved in some really bad results for Celtic this season, which is why I've been very reluctant to do the "this guy's missing, so when once he comes back, it's going to be different." It's different when there are multiple players missing, especially from the back four, but we've done that all season. Dyson and Abada were going to come back and fix everything a few weeks ago. Hatate is another one, but Carter Vickers was in the team when Hearts beat us at Celtic Park, so it goes way, way beyond individual players at this point.
But I think there's two critical and key differences with Hatate and Carter Vickers in particular. I know this is a very long podcast, but Carter Vickers is kind of press resistant. Yeah. So see if you've got Carter Vickers on the pitch against Killie. Derek McInnes came out and says, we let the players we wanted have the ball, Like, even he knows we'll just let them have the ball because they're crap. We'll press them when their backs to go. You can't really do that, Carter Vickers. He just shrugs you off and steps forward.
And if Scales has got Taylor one side and Carter Vickers the other, then it's all right because he can give them to them. But when he has Burnaby and Welsh either side, disaster.
It's also part of the problem. And crucially, another thing with Hatate is he's one of the only players who can take it under lots of pressure, yes, but Callum McGregor, Hatate can take it on the half turn, and Callum McGregor can't.
I disagree with that.
You don't think Hatate can take the ball on the half turn?
I think McGregor can take it on
I don't think he can. Yeah. I thought they kept him real. I thought Kamart did a great job keeping him with his back to goal.
Aye, because all they need to do is create a box around him and then it means it goes back to the centre halves. Doesn't mean he can't take the ball in the turn. If he's got two players on him, where can he go?
But I think Hatate's better at that. I think he takes the ball, turns, the whole pitch is open, and he throws a pass out. I don't ever see Callum McGregor doing that. I see him taking him at the feet and turning on the ball, but I don't see him doing that thing that I think opens up the whole pitch in one touch and turn that Hatate can do. I'm happy to be proved wrong, but in my mind when I'm picturing the difference between Hatate and McGregor, I'm seeing Hatate take the ball and turn, and immediately the whole pitch is in front of him and he's playing difficult balls and he's trying difficult things. I don't see Callum McGregor particularly doing that type of play, and I think that really, really gets you out of bother and it creates things. And I think those two players coming back, would make a big difference for Celtic. Problem is, too fucking late. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And on that, we shall wrap up. Thank you so much for watching. Patreon.com/20MinuteTims if you want to follow Celtic's journey to the end of the season and potentially wrap up a double. Oh, very exciting. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.